I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, we can talk about the decision. We can talk about a lot of things with this Texans team. But the roster, as it's built right now, John, it's just not very good, especially on the defensive side of things. You get gashed for 600 yards. It's not surprising, but it's just hard to expect much more from this defense, especially given the fact you drafted guys who can't get on the field over guys who look like they shouldn't be starting on NFL defenses. It's just not a very well-built team, well-built roster. And there's really only three players on this defense that you could see contributing in the next couple years. And other than that, I don't know how you're going to improve because you don't have a first or second round pick, but it's bad, John.
I'll tell you what, yesterday was so much fun to watch, even though the outcome wasn't what you wanted. It was real football. It was Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson again. It was just cool. Receivers, I mean, Brandon Cooks, you know, two straight games. It was just fun. And it was just so infuriating as well. It was the epitome of mixed emotions for me yesterday watching this game. Because on the one hand, you're like, well, all right. You know, on the offensive side, you got Deshaun doing this. With a new coach, new offense coordinator, something that caters to him even more, some young talent around him, a running game around him, and I'll get to that. You might be onto something. But then I'm looking at the defense and David Johnson and the
emotion.
Yeah. You call him what? Enron?
EB, the Enron back.
And it's infuriating. It is totally infuriating. The way I put it earlier is, I used to earlier in this year, before Bill O'Brien was fired, I felt like sometimes I had to watch the Texans. Now I want to watch the Texans. That's the good news. The bad news is Bill O'Brien left this team, and especially the defense, in a shambles. It should be criminal what he did. This is, I don't want it to be, but this is still about how Bill O'Brien made one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL when you look at it now. Just completely crippling the roster. J.J. Watt did all he could do, and he's got him for his own good. They got to move him. Move him somewhere where he can win because this defense was not worthy of J.J. Watt. It really wasn't. And Bill O'Brien just destroyed what was stacking up to be a pretty good thing, man.
And I don't think that – I think you can even look – even further along the roster for some stuff that's frustrating. And I just want to throw it your way. I just want to give you a list of things that I think are very telling about this roster that, I mean, on top of everything you just said. First of all, the Enron back is awful. He is god-awful. I mean, he is.
It's 350 yards, man.
For the league minimum, he had three less carries than Derrick Henry yesterday. It's not like they're not using him. He had 19 carries.
Yeah, he's playing 78% of the snap.
Let me just give you some numbers.
Okay.
2019. I'm focusing on the starting running back and the reserve safety.
Okay.
2019.
Okay.
And I just tweeted this out at Landry Locker. Carlos Hyde made $800,000.
Man.
Okay.
That was a steal.
Jahlil Adai, your backup safety, made $1.5 million dollars. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a total of 2.3 million. For your running back and your backup
safety.
Manadai
was impactful.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good. He was okay. He could tackle.
Yeah.
This year, your starting back, the Enron back, makes $10.5 million. He's due $2 million next year, too, no matter what happens. He's going to get $2 million. So $10.5 million. So about $9.7 million more than Hyde is what the Enron back gets. Eric Murray, this year, he's getting $4 million. That's his cap hit. And next year, his cap hit, $6.75 million. The difference is $12.5 million there. You invested $12.5 million more dollars for a starting running back and a reserve safety. And I think there was a huge downgrade.
It was a downgrade. What do you mean, think?
I mean, I would trade. I mean, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Hyde and Jahlil Adai? Or would you rather have the Enron back and Eric Murray? I mean, like, really? Tell me.
That's an easy choice. That's an easy, easy choice.
They're paying $12.5 million for the opposite end of an easy choice.
Yeah.
Brennan Scarlett going through stuff that needs attention about this Texans team. Look, I want him on my football team. I think he's a good special teams guy. I think he's a reserve guy. But the fact that Brennan Scarlett has started two straight years for an NFL defense, and not even because of injuries. It's not like someone got hurt. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Like, that's just really bad. It was bad enough that they thought that he could be a Clowney replacement. But Brennan Scarlett should be on your football team. He should be one of those glue guys.
He's a role player.
He started 2 years for your defense. That's just bad. Ross Blacklock and Jonathan Grenard.
Mm-hmm.
These guys can't even get on the field on this defense. I'm saying all this stuff about Brennan Scarlett. Jonathan Grenard cannot even get on the field. And yeah. You remember when King Bill and Easterby were yelling at each other or whatever whenever the pick was made, and B.O.B.
said, I was messing with the Zoom.
Yeah.
That's telling, too. These guys can't get on the field on this defense. Your second and third round pick cannot even get on the field. Colin Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're getting a little defensive here, but this is...
No, you know I've never been. I've always been fair with him.
This is my question about Gillespie, okay?
What's he doing in the rotation? All he is a special teams guy.
He's a special teams guy.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be a fullback. Yet on short yardage, they're going empty, or they're going with the Enron back by Deshaun Watson. Yeah. What is the point of carrying a fullback if he's just going to run down and chase kicks? I'm not saying Gillespie is bad.
No, I love
his dad. I love Gillespie, but I'm just saying, what's the point of carrying a fullback if he's not going to be a fullback? You can find someone else to do what Gillespie is being asked to do.
The thing with Gillespie is he's purely a special teams guy, and this team is not good enough to be carrying purely a special teams guy. You know, they don't have the depth otherwise. If they had another running back that was worth, I almost said it, that's two of us now, worth a darn. Let me say that. Then maybe you could get away with him just as calling him a fullback. You know, but he's just a special teams guy. But you don't have the depth in the backfield to, you know, for that to be the case. Duke Johnson, how is this guy not playing 78% of the snaps compared to David Johnson?
By the way, you traded a third round pick for.
You know the answer on David Johnson. There is no more mystery. There is no more waiting it out. Let's see what happens. Let's see how he does. Maybe he'll get a grasp of the offense. You know, he didn't have a preseason. You know what he has had, David Johnson? He's had six games, and he's gained 350 yards. He's bad.
He's had the same tweet pinned for 3 years. I'm going to prove the doubters wrong.
Right.
He's been there for 3 years.
And Jack Easterby is on the hook here. He's going to try, probably. But if he tries to distance himself from Bill O'Brien and Duke Johnson and one of the worst, if not the worst, trade in NFL history, he's fooling no one. I mean, well, hopefully he's not fooling anyone. Because this dude, you could see it from a mile away. You could see it from a mile away. I sat in this chair right here and said, this guy will not get more than about 600 yards rushing. And I thought I was exaggerating, but I was trying to illustrate a point. You know what? He may not get more than 600 yards rushing, and he's on the field 78% of the time. If I know that, watching football the way I do, how does a general manager and his sidekick not know that?
We've seen something very clear the last year plus with the way that this team has been built. First of all, they care more about the offense than the defense.
Second of all, they don't value guys who stop the run. They don't. Like, when you don't value guys who stop the run, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to stink at stopping the run.
Yeah.
And that's where they are. Jadeveon Clowney, he didn't get enough sacks. You know what he was good at? Stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Reader last year. You know what he's good at? Stopping the run.
You know what you could have done yesterday? What you could have used?
Them. And then you look at this. Whitney Mercilus. I love Whitney. Again, I love Brennan Scarlett. I want him on my team, but he shouldn't be starting. Whitney Mercilus might get a sack here or there, but there is no chance in hell. And I don't want to make a blanket statement, but I'm pretty confident in this. There's no chance in hell that Whitney Mercilus is hitting the market after last season.
Oh, he's not getting. Yeah, he's not getting
4 years, $54 million with the signing bonus. He got damn near $30 million. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he got that because he's smart, tough, dependable. Yesterday, in a game in which the Tennessee Titans had 600 yards of offense. Let me say that again.
Yep.
600 yards of offense. And Derrick Henry had over 200 on the ground, including 22 carries for 212. Could I interest you in a stat?
You know you can.
Do you know how many tackles Whitney Mercilus had yesterday?
How many?
As many as you.
Well, I had a pretty good game, I thought.
You know how many tackles Charles Minnehu had yesterday?
How many?
And Charles is a rookie, so I'm not trying to pick on him. As many as me. We are sitting here on effing Reaction Monday. You were sitting on your couch drinking a nice buttery Chardonnay.
Darn right I was.
I was drinking Hoppadillo. And we had combined as many tackles as Whitney Mercilus and Charles Aminahu. Think about that, John. Think about that.
Oh, I know. I know. And it's an embarrassment. And it's why I go back to the defense is just not worthy of J.J. Watt's performance yesterday. It was never more clear. And just to think about 601 yards of offense you gave up in an NFL game. It's the most in the history of the organization and the most since 2003 that this team has given up as many as that. In 2003, Steve McNair put up 535 yards of offense on the Texans. That's how long ago it was.
I hope 2900 on the text line's kidding around.
Why? What's that?
He says it was an overtime game. That inflates the stats.
Ooh, well, actually, guy.
Okay, they gave up 500. Does that make you feel better?
No.
They gave up 500 yards.
They gave up more than 500. I mean, yeah. They gave up 601 yards. Okay. Let's say they drove 100 yards, which is an impossibility. Let's say they put the ball on the goal line and drove 100 yards.
I hope he's kidding.
That's still 501 yards of offense they gave up.
Here's the other thing. Last year when Vernon Hargraves was cut by the Buccaneers, nobody wanted him. Nobody,
right.
Literally, the Texans were the only team that wanted him. He cleared waivers. Nobody wanted him.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to see why.
Yeah.
Phillip Gaines, as bad as Eric Murray is, Eric Murray is playing corner for the Texans. You know why Eric Murray initially switched to safety? This is really going to be the kicker for all the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the kick to the junk. Like, even saying this, I am going to be on my hands and knees during the break because I'm going to feel like I got kicked right in the dong after I say this to you. You know why Eric Murray initially moved to safety?
Why?
Because he couldn't beat out Phillip Gaines at corner.
Ooh.
In Kansas City.
Ouch.
He moved to safety because he couldn't beat out Phillip Gaines at corner. And now both of those guys are guard receivers for the Houston Texans. Eric Murray's getting paid pretty nice to do that, too.
Yeah, he is.
These are the extra things that you need to look at. 713-572-4610. Let's get some reaction from the loopholes from the city. 713-572-4610. Texans lose. Texans lose. What now? Is it time to trade JJ? Next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
What can be accomplished moving forward for the Houston Texans? What exactly are we looking at? We're looking at a 1-5 team making the playoffs unless you just run off
8 straight wins or something like that. It seems like somewhat of an uphill battle.
Maybe not even that.
What can be accomplished for the Texans moving forward? What am I looking at? Because I'm enjoying watching the ball club, but what can be accomplished?
I'm telling you what can be accomplished right now. And it's the painful thing that we, in a roundabout way, addressed last week, and it's becoming more and more obvious. Before the season, I talked about this is a team that could very well go 1-6 or 2-5. Well, they're going to go one of those two things. They're going to be either 1-6 or 2-5 to start the year. And that is not a place where J.J. Watt, yeah, that's where we're going, and it's obvious, and you shouldn't be uncomfortable talking about it anymore if you support the broader picture here, the broader picture being the Texans and finally getting good again or good enough to advance deeper into the postseason. You got to move J.J. Watt. We've danced around it. We've talked about it. We've said there's a possibility out there. What's the quickest way to get there? The quickest way to get there is to trade J.J. Watt. Period. Paragraph. There is no quicker way. You don't have any draft picks in the premium rounds. Your cap is already, being taxed and is not going to get a lot better. The clock is ticking, even on Deshaun Watson. He'll be in year 5, The best route is not to just keep J.J. Watt and keep selling jerseys and keep, fans happy because he's such a beloved and good player and good dude for the community. Business is business. And the business says now's the time to trade J.J. Watt.
You got to do right for him. You got to do right for yourself.
He probably wants it.
I mean, he probably doesn't want to say it.
Yeah.
And he wants it to be the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think trading J.J. Watt to a team that's contending that has more hope just makes more sense. After this year, he's guaranteed no money. It's going to be a $16 million salary, which teams would be more than willing to pay J.J. Watt, especially the J.J. Watt that we saw yesterday. You have no draft picks. You have no first and second round pick. He wants to win a Super Bowl. You're not in position right now to give him what he wants. Sometimes you just got to cut bait and you got to get something back for him.
So there you go. I think we're in agreement. The best, easiest way to get there and acquire the assets is to trade J.J. Watt. But you know what might be the worst thing that Bill O'Brien left on the roster?
What's that?
Jack Easterby. Because the only way you're going to trade J.J. Watt is to have Jack Easterby trade him.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
Jack Easterby was locked arm in arm with Bill O'Brien for the dumbest moves this organization has made in years. If not the dumbest ever.
And vocal about him.
We've just been talking about, you illustrated it perfectly last segment. I mean, Eric Murray and the money, some of these other players, Brennan Scarlett, Whitney and the money.
Imran Beck.
David Johnson and how horrible a trade that was. So this is truly a dilemma. You keep J.J. Watt, you're not helping the team. You trade J.J. Watt, you might not be helping the team. You might get more of the boneheaded trades that you've already made and decisions you've already made because the only person in that room, unless Cal McNair is going to come in and start dealing with general managers and make a trade, you either have to wait till the new regime is here and who knows what kind of what kind of equity you're going to get in return, what kind of trade value you're going to get in return. Or if you trade J.J. Watt right now, when he is he could bring you the most back in a trade, you're going to rely on Jack Easterby to do that? Are you kidding me? You going to do that?
You have to, right?
I mean, again, the worst thing Bill O'Brien left the Texans is Jack Easterby in terms of football. Good dude. He's the David Johnson of front office. Everybody's happy with him, likes him. He's a likable dude. He's bad at his job.
What if his job's different now? Well, he is the GM right now. So what if his job's different after this year?
Well, I think, and I'll go back to this. I think if the new general manager comes in and is not really connected with Jack Easterby, like Jack Easterby doesn't have an influence on the hiring of the general manager, because then you'll have that whole, buddy system again. If the new general manager is not connected to Jack Easterby and the new head coach is not connected to Jack Easterby, I think Easterby will just walk away. I really do. Unless he just wants to just cash a check and lay in the background.
Well, I would love for him to be in the background, honestly. I think that's where he belongs, but that's where he is. I say you trade J.J. Watt, and then I think after the season, you bring back Clowney. And look, Clowney's not going to be asking for what the Texans initially weren't going to give him or that nobody else was willing to give him.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, the market has spoken, and you're going to be able to get Clowney at a pretty good deal. You're going to save the $16 million next year because J.J. won't be guaranteed that.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring Clowney into a place he's comfortable. You give him that multi-year deal. No, he's not J.J. Watt. And yes, he has flaws as a player. But we're no longer talking about Clowney and his flaws with Khalil Mack or hypothetical Aaron Donald money.
Right.
It's going to be a bargain. So I think the first step towards taking the next step is you trade J.J.,
mm-hmm.
get some draft equity because you have none, bring back Clowney, and you might not have been willing to pay what he initially wanted. That has changed to where it can be a bargain, and you bring back J.D. next year.
But you trust Easterby to trade J.J. Watt for an equitable—
I don't trust Easterby to do anything except talk.
Right.
That's it. I trust him to give sermons. I trust him to quote Bible verses. I trust him to help with the COVID. I trust him to walk around and clap on the sidelines. I don't trust Easterby to do anything football-wise.
So that's the dilemma. You keep J.J. Watt all the way until you get a new regime in and his trade value goes down. Because right now there are teams that would love and overpay for him.
For 2 years, yes.
Yes.
They would have him for 2 years.
Love to have J.J. Watt. You could get a second, maybe even a first. Second for sure. Right now. Today. Tomorrow. For J.J. Watt, you could easily get a
probably
second.
Probably get more than a second.
Well, I'm talking about like in terms of premium pick. A second and a whatever.
I have seen these guys trade, so we're in a dangerous place right now.
Well, I'm just saying because he's 31, you should get a first if you're shrewd. But I'm saying you can get a second and a fourth right now. Today for J.J.
Well,
for a contending team.
You should.
What would the Steelers do 5-0? What would they give up?
They might not need anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can use them. You get J.J., they're the Super Bowl contenders. I mean, they're Super Bowl favorites right there with Kansas City, if not ahead of Kansas City.
By the way, tonight, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be on Sports Radio 610, mm-hmm. Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
Little Nuke Hopkins, 713-572-4610. That guy. Let's go to Larry in Stafford. Larry, you're on In the Loop Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Hey, let me chime in, Landon and Lopez. Look here. On that J.J. Watt thing, I don't think you're going to get no one for him, but if you're going to move him somewhere where he's going to be happy and that we can, you know, let him benefit from it, like being in Chicago with his wife again or in Wisconsin with his family, and let him go and try to see if he can get him a ring and go ahead and solidify his career. But as far as anything else, look, Jack Easterbunny is just an albatross on this team, man. We know he's in a position to make these kind of decisions that aren't gonna do anything for us. This is just about moving forward. And if y'all need a 5-step plan how to get this thing fixed, the first step in that plan is to cut David Johnson's ass. That's the first thing. Just get rid of that, because that's a constant reminder to the fans of what Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterbunny has done to us. So he has to be the first thing to go. And then when you're done with David Johnson, and if you're listening to me, don't get mad at me because you think that David Johnson is a great person. I don't give a damn about him being a great person. I give a damn about the fact that by the time that the hole is open, it's closed by the time his ass even get to it.
Yep.
So don't talk to me about his being a good person. That's a reminder to me that DeAndre Hopkins isn't on this football team and we got worse for it. The next step you do, the very next thing you do, is you try to figure out exactly that why when you paid Zach Cunningham, he decided to become a broke-ass linebacker, because Zach Cunningham isn't playing the football that we thought he was going to play. So somebody needs to explain that to me. And then the third thing you need to do, you need to put Hargrave's ass on the first thing smoking out of this town too, because he's not trying to play football. See, this is not this season is a wash, man. We're not going to get back in the wild card picture. We're not going to get back in the AFC South picture. That's even with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. We should not be a 1-6 team or a 2-5 team with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. These are things that have happened that Bill O'Brien allowed to happen, and now we're paying the price for it. Because if you're still trying to convince yourself that Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb is a great substitution for DeAndre Hopkins, your ass is stupid. And last thing before I let you go, I sat through Frank Bush playing calling defensive plays. I sat through Richard Johnson calling defensive plays. Anthony Weaver, as much as I like Weave, no, dog. You can't give up 600 yards in a football season and not have to answer for that. You have to be able to explain to me why your defense allowed the Tennessee Titans to let Ryan Tannehill get comfortable, why you let Ben Roethlisberger get comfortable when you know they're not a threat to hurt you on the ground. You just let them sit back there and pick you apart like that? No, I'm going to let you go with this. Y'all can say that going for two was the right thing to do and all that other thing, but I will continue to die on the hill that going up by eight is a better option than going up by two, because I'd be damned if I believed that Tennessee was going to be able to score three times, which meant a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and another touchdown in the overtime. No, I'm going to take that point and get my ass out of Tennessee and save my season, and I'll holler.
There you go. Right. Larry and Stafford here on Reaction Monday, 713-572-4610. Let's revisit the decision he talked about with Romeo Crennel, and let's revisit the best sounds from yesterday. I don't know if Mark Vandermeer could speak this morning.
I know.
But my goodness, it got very exciting yesterday. We'll relive it next.
The In the Loop program with the Loopers. They're going to do their thing.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, it's a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610.
Right, let's just go back.
In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
And revisit the best sounds from yesterday's game. It was a thriller. It was exciting. If nothing else, Texans lose 42-16. And it didn't look good early on. Texans down 7-0. A.J. Brown finds the end zone.
First and goal at the 6. Tannehill in the gun. Here's the snap. Tannehill scrambling out to the right side. Dumps it off. Touchdown, Tennessee, as Brown made the catch and the score. And the Titans are up 2 TDs to nothing.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, we've almost lost after everything that happened after that, how easy the Titans were making it look early on. I mean, just a piece of cake.
Which was the surprise of no one. Titans up 14-0, though. Fourth down for the Texans inside the 5-yard line. Deshaun Watson empty, and he finds the end zone.
Fourth and goal. The Texans are going for it. Watson in the gun. Deshaun takes the pass, or the snap rather, throws right side, and Deshaun throws a touchdown pass to Darren Fells.
Man. 21-7 was the score. Texans get the ball at the end of the half, and they're looking to score. They're moving the rock. Everything looks okay. And then probably one of the most frustrating moments of the game for me, at least. One timeout remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun throws the ball to the Enron back. He has a clear path to the sidelines.
David Johnson.
Where he could have easily run out of bounds.
Yep.
But instead, he cuts upfield into 3 defenders. The clock continues to run, and the Texans have to lose their final timeout.
Enron Online will change the markets.
It's one thing to stink. It's one thing to be washed up.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just be the face of one of the worst trades in the history of this franchise. Mm-hmm. But I can't deal with stupid from my vets.
That's a great point.
I can't deal with stupid from my vets.
Fail trying hard smartly.
Father Time wins.
Right.
But it wins over your body. Not your mind when
point.
You're playing football. Yeah. I God bless the Enron back. He's just not good. He stinks.
He's not good.
What can we help you save, Enron?
But dude, get out of bounds. That's not hard. That's common sense. And they had to use the timeout. They settle for a field goal. 21-10 at the half. Titans looking to get that 14-point lead back in the third quarter. They've had some field goal problems going back to last year. They brought in Gostkowski from the Pats to solve those problems.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Reed, not having it.
So they'll go with a 27-yard chip shot from the left hash mark. The snap is down. It's blocked. And the Texans try to pick it up and advance the ball. They have it at the 21-yard line. The Houston Texans special teamers come up with a play.
21-10. And I think also in that drive, I thought it was nice to see two guys that are getting more playing time in recent weeks. Tyrell Adams, who had a rough day, but he had a sack.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonnie Johnson, who's playing a lot more, had a huge tackle.
that led to that field goal attempt. So the Texans keep it at 21-10. They get to the one-yard line, and they give the Enron back a bone.
Watson shotgun on second and goal at the one with David Johnson in the backfield. Handoff, Johnson straight ahead. He's in. Touchdown, Houston.
Enron Online will change the markets.
And the man who's stolen as much money as Enron scores 21-17, Texans. So we had a play on special teams. Could the defense join the party?
Yeah, they could.
You bet your ass. J.J. Watt says yes.
Third and 10, Titans at their 25. Three receivers wide side left, Tannehill in the gun. As Tannehill takes the snap, here comes Watt. J.J. with the hit. The ball is out. The Titans recover deep in their territory. It's still out. There's a fight for it, a scrum. The Texans say they have it, and they have it. First and goal.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
How about that? That was impressive. The read play and obviously J.J.'s play, you know, they had taken such a the Titans had taken such control early. I mean, without those, we wouldn't even be having these other discussions, which is ironic because the defense really didn't do a whole lot else.
What the F was that offensive lineman doing? Was he trying to pick it up and run?
I don't know.
Like, all he had to do was fall on it, but he, like, tried to pick it up and run, and then the Texans recovered.
Yeah.
So the Texans get the rock. They drive down the field. Randall Cobb. Nice footwork, baby.
Third and goal at the four. Watson in the gun. Duke Johnson in the backfield with him. Cooks, short side left. Deshaun gets the snap. Looking. Deshaun scrambling out to the right side. And he throws right sideline of the end zone. And Cobb has it. Touchdown! The Texans take the lead.
So man. Texans take the lead 24-17. Titans drive down the field. It looks like they're going to tie the game. It was actually 24-21, not 17, my bad.
Yeah.
Gostkowski misses another field goal. And you start to think, maybe it's just the Texans' day. Maybe they just got them where they want them. 24-21, Texans offense stalls. But a good punt and a penalty puts the Titans at their own six-yard line. So you feel good about this.
Yeah, you got them in. You got them penned in.
You got them right where you want them.
Yeah.
And then they hand the ball to that man.
First down at the Tennessee six-yard line. One back, Henry, behind Ryan Tannehill. He's under center. He gets the snap from Jones. Handoff.
Oh,
Henry breaks a tackle. 15-20. He's on the move. 30, 35, 40. Cutting left to 50. Henry's going to go all the way down the left sideline. 15, 10, 5. Coast to coast. Derrick Henry, 94 yards.
You can always tell what the play is going to be just with the sounds that Andre Ware makes. It's freaking awesome. Oh, boy. You knew exactly what was going on right there.
So the Titans take the lead, but I'll be damned. The Texans are taking shots down the field.
Yeah.
King Bill truly is dead.
First down, Texans at their 47. Watson to the gun with Johnson to his right. Everybody bunched in tight here, and Watson fakes the give. And he airs it out long, deep
wide open.
Wide open is Fuller. Rock and roll.
See what I mean?
Touchdown, Houston. The Texans tie it up and can take the lead with an extra point.
You can again. Andre's the best. You can just
wide open.
Oh, wide open! I mean, but the way he said it, you knew this was going to be a big time play.
Texans take the lead, 30-29. The city's going nuts. Are the Texans going to give the old Oilers their first loss? You hoped. But you knew that this defense was paper thin. And you knew that this defense, 5-plus weeks into the season, hadn't even had an interception until my man be making plays, bro.
Here are the Titans, first down at their 25. Tannehill under center. Firkser motions to the right side. Tannehill fakes the give. Steps up, fires deep downfield, and intercepted by Bradley Roby at the 30-yard line.
You're making plays, bro.
Makes a play. First interception of the year for the Texans. 1-point lead and the rock in the fourth quarter. Texans drive down the fields. Fourth down again. We saw the Texans score on fourth down earlier. Watson to Fells. Brandon Cooks, who didn't have a catch until late in the game, he had a few, including this one.
Biggest play of the season so far right here. Fourth and goal at the one. Watson to the gun. Johnson in the backfield with him. Johnson in motion to the right. Watson gets the snap, throws over the middle, hits Cooks for the touchdown on fourth down.
So that's a touchdown on fourth down, right?
It is.
Didn't they do something else on fourth down earlier?
There were two of those.
So they went for it twice.
Yes, they did.
Huh. Then what happened?
Well, would the third time be a charm? That is the question, because as the Texans scored that touchdown to go up 36-29, old Romeo held up two fingers, and he wasn't saying peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, let's go for two. Let's end this. Let's take the nine-point lead. I don't trust my defense. There's less than 2 minutes left. I do not trust my defense. Romeo Crennel goes for two, but it wasn't meant to be.
Here's the two-point conversion try. Snap to Deshaun. Scrambling, throwing over the middle, and tipped it incomplete.
Ugh. That hurt. But I like the effort, especially from Romeo Crennel.
No problem with the decision. I didn't trust the defense. I think you saw what happened with Tennessee on the drive. They scored with ease. And quite honestly, 2.5, 3 yards out, Derrick Henry's going to score anyways. But the Texans did have a chance at the end of the half to prevent the Titans from scoring. But A.J. Brown, end zone part two.
Titans hustling up to the line. They want to clock it. Or maybe they're just going to run a play with 8 seconds to go. Tannehill takes the snap, floats one left side of the end zone. Brown with the catch.
Wow.
Is he in? Yes. Touchdown, Tennessee.
It Eight would seconds. Be reviewed, and they scored.
Yeah.
Tennessee with the touchdown. You thought maybe Vrabel would go for two, but he decided to go for one. He puts up one finger. Gostkowski goes up there through the uprights. We have overtime. Then the mistake Deshaun Watson made. He called tails. Always got to call heads.
I thought tails
Deshaun.
Never fail.
Tails fails.
Yeah.
Got to go heads, man. Deshaun calls tails. Heads it is.
We want the ball.
We want the ball is what the Titans said. Derrick Henry, 50-plus on a catch. Titans get to the 5-yard line.
It's almost like that 50-yard catch is an afterthought compared to everything else he was doing.
They get to the 5. And people who were wondering about the two-point conversion, this is further out than a two-point conversion. The Titans put Ryan Tannehill in motion on the sidelines. Now, we know he was a receiver at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going there to catch a pass. He was going there to sit back and watch that behemoth of a human being put the Texans out of their misery.
They spread out the Texans, and they're going to go with the wild Henry. Henry is in the shotgun. Gets the snap. He's running left. Henry to the goal line.
Wow.
He's in. Game over. The
Once
Titans
again.
Win.
Game Once time. Again, my guy Andre. Oh.
Texans
all I needed
lose.
To hear, man. That's all I needed to hear, Dre.
Texans lose. Texans
let's,
lose. 42-36.
Let's talk about how they scored with 8 seconds left. The tying touchdown.
Mike Vrabel taking the penalty when the Texans had the ball. 12 men on the field was on purpose.
Between 40 and 48 or so seconds with a brilliant move by Mike Vrabel. If you weren't listening earlier, well, let's just lay it out.
So the Texans had the ball 2nd and 1 on about the 25-yard line.
On the Titans, 25.
All of a sudden.
And the Titans had not been stopping them at all.
Mike Vrabel tells a linebacker to run onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker looks a little bit confused. We got 11. Vrabel goes, get your ass on the field.
Yeah.
Jonathan Joseph looks over at Mike Vrabel.
Like,
and keep in mind, there's 3 minutes
on.
Left in the game. And is like, what's going on? Vrabel shoos him and says, don't worry about it. We got this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Texans try to run a play. The refs blow the whistle.
Clock stops.
12 men on the field on the Tennessee Titans.
Clock does not start until the next snap. So what Mike Vrabel did was it was straight out of Bill Belichick's book. And then just a brilliant, brilliant move. Just where the brilliance is not just that you had this. Because anybody can say over the course of the week or in the preseason, hey, if we're ever in a situation, blah, 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 let's go ahead and put a 12th man on the field, stop the clock, blah, blah. But to do it in the heat of the moment of a very tight game that was hugely important for both teams was incredible.
He's got the football internet going nuts right now. So Vrabel sells that. Then he acts upset when the refs call it.
Yeah.
But you can tell he's kind of winking at the sidelines.
Yeah.
And what this does is 2nd and 1 is probable for the Texans. So they're going to get the first down anyways.
Yeah, so
you stop the clock, you get an extra timeout, and they go inside the 20, which means there's only a certain amount of plays. If they get 1 yard there, then you could get two first downs.
Yeah.
But as it sits, you can only get one more first down. So you save the clock. The Texans end up scoring, and the Titans have 45, 50 extra seconds.
Yeah.
And they had the timeout, the extra timeout that they didn't have to kill. So essentially,
but to think
that's
of
what Mike
that,
Vrabel did. Brilliant.
In the moment.
Brilliant.
And to think about this, it was the second time he's done that in his coaching career. And his coaching career hadn't been that long.
3 years, two plus years.
But in 2018, he did something very similar against the Jets and saved the game that way or won the game that way. Pretty darn impressive by Mike Vrabel. And they ended up scoring with 8 seconds left.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Pretty brilliant. No issue with Romeo going for the two-point conversion here. Texans, Bill, I've laughed to myself about this rant probably like 16 times today. Here's Texans Bill talking about Romeo Crennel's decision to go for two rather than getting the 8-point lead.
I ain't going to say it was the right call, but I love the call by Romeo to go for two down there. Put the ball in your best player's hands and put the game away. Because he knew more than any of us, and we knew what was going to happen. Titans weren't going to run some regular drive. They only had a minute and a half where they hand the ball off a little, then dink and dunk, and then maybe a little deeper. Tannehill was just going to sit back and slice and dice that secondary's ass. That's exactly what happened. And then we weren't going to stop them for two. I don't care who was running the ball. Probably would have been that big motherfucker with the horse hanging out the back of his head. Further, Romeo Crennel just took over an 0-4 team a week ago. This isn't down the line, end of the year, fighting for the division. Ain't nothing to lose. I'm not mad at all. I love it. Go for the damn win. Get nothing to lose. Fire Tom Herman.
The big mother effer with the horse dong hanging out the back of his helmet. where does this dude come up with this? That's quite the
illustration right there.
That is quite the illustration. My goodness. How does that stay in
Drive
one
by
place?
Tom Herman.
How does his hair stay in one place, Henry's?
I don't know.
Is it just real tight? Because it's like hanging out.
I want to ask Figgy, but then I don't want to ask Figgy.
Race car!
Okay, I'll ask Figgy then.
It's fair. I do have locks, so it's fair.
So is it hairspray? Is it just what?
Nah. It depends how tight his locks are.
Got
if you have
you
it in a certain spot. Some people do wrap them.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like look at it like a ponytail.
Okay. And it just goes all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. A horse bleep. Oh, you know what you're looking at. That's for sure.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Now, the Titans did win yesterday, but they also suffered a significant, and I mean significant, loss. Plus, Mike Vrabel fired shots at Tim Kelly, or did he, in a very active week 6 in the league. That gets even better tonight. I can't wait. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.